Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
it's Ben Vanel, and with us, as always, twiddling with his knobs.
Yeah, oh, mate, you've made it sound like I'm touching my penis.
Well, multiple penises. I said knobs.
I assume that you don't mean to have done it. But you made me, the third co-host, Adam Knox, sound like I'm fiddling around with balls, but I'm not. Yes. I was touching the bloody recorder, mate.
Yeah.
Let's say a mad scientist drugs you and kidnaps you.
Okay.
And then you have to
second. Okay. I've practiced remembering that. Yeah. I've woken up in his lair.
You have to have a second penis attached to your body, but you get to pick where it is.
Okay.
Where do you choose? And it can't just be next to the
existing. No, I don't mind where. But I've got a second penis here and it's going somewhere in your body.
Well, that's what makes him so mad.
It's getting attached at the tip of my existing penis.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Just one long double penis.
So on the middle of your forehead then. Is that where it is?
I'll be blowing stitched up today.
Imagine if you'd done the popcorn trick, but with the recorder. So you like stuck your dick through the recorder and then started twiddling with the knob. That would be
It's wild. Rattling around in the SD card slot.
The fact that it's an SD card stuff, there's still enough room for it to rattle.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
There's an echo.
That's the
implication.
Joy of what I've said there.
As we've established, I'm in charge of the recorder, so I can just hit stop and we go again if I want.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
I've memorized everything I said, so I'm just going to do it again. Exactly.
Me and Ben rehearsed this last night. But hey, let's. I want to follow up on something from last week.
Okay.
You came in here.
You want to go back to something?
I do.
You want to know where my second penis ended up?
Yep.
He wouldn't do the extension thing. He was like, that's not in the spirit of the game.
Right.
So I just put it next to it.
Sure. Yeah, we're going back in, going to rehash something that already came up.
What?
Going to have a second run at this topic.
Oh. Because I didn't understand what you were saying at first and it completely died on me.
Yeah.
But now the second time you've run it by me.
Yep. Hopefully it'll go better.
It's gone a little further with me.
You've gotten a little bit further. And now I'm going to try for a third time and see how far we get.
We go way, way less far. And like, how am I getting worse at it?
Fourth time, I actually have to go down to the shops halfway through it. So
guess what?
Fifth time.
Yeah.
I've been playing Returnal.
Me too.
My PlayStation 5 the game crashed on me.
Ooh.
15 minutes into one of those runs where you're like, this is the one.
Yeah.
I was doing everything right. Felt like I was on a good roll. Could just sort of felt like I was in the zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the game just locked up and it just, and then I had like five shockers in a row where it crushed my confidence.
It's
brutal.
There's not really a reason that I can see why that game doesn't have an autosave thing, only for things like that.
Mm.
You can't willingly go back to your autosave, but just as a form of power goes out all around the world.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they patched it and like during the week and then the patch was found to be like quite faulty. A lot of people were crashing, so they had to then quickly like go back to the previous patch or put it. Yeah. They do really quickly like do a big fix. And I think that's what happened to me. I downloaded the dodgy one and which for a game like this, devastating.
Mm. It's a nightmare. And like the same thing with, so the rest mode on my PS5 now works.
Oh.
There was a system software update a week or two ago.
Right.
And since then, fingers crossed, touch a bit of wood, cross your fingers and then touch wood for extreme luck.
Cross your two penises.
If I cross
and
my
touch wood.
Cross my penises, get wood, scream in terror and pain as my braided penises fight each other.
Yeah, but he doesn't have two. He's got one on the tip of the other one. So
no,
you've got to like tie it up like a pretzel.
No, he refused.
No, we went over this. You were clearly thinking about your own thing you were going to say, but the second penis is just next to my original.
Like the real
penis.
Man with two penises.
Yeah, like that guy.
Yeah.
I think his come out in a fork, though.
Like, I think neither of them is the main penis.
Yeah.
Visually.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
That's right. Neither of them has the confidence to just go straight ahead and be like, nah, I'm alpha.
Yeah.
I'm alpha cock.
They're both dicks. Like, dicks are where alphaness comes from.
Mm.
Yeah, the alphaness is stored in the dick.
Yep.
That famous meme. Yeah.
It's not like a societal thing or whatever. It's purely penis-based, and that's my fundamental belief.
Yeah.
It isn't.
All of this is discussed in Returnal, by the way.
Yeah. This
the
is
deep
why we're
lore
talking
of
about
the game.
This.
Right.
Yeah.
You
go, this is the story that unfolds across.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really innovative narrative style.
Yeah. Through flashbacks and
you see your old childhood house show up in front of you, and you walk inside, and you, depending on which hallway you go down, changes which penis you get for that run.
Yes.
Right.
Then you can get a second one and next one.
First thing you see is you walk in and you pick up a framed photo of your two penises that are sitting on the mantle, greeting everyone as they walk in the front door.
Oh, this wasn't here. What? that tone of like the house thing is annoying me, where she's like, every time she's like, what, why is this here? It's like, this is the fifth time you're seeing it.
Yeah.
Right.
You gotta be used to it by now. Even if it's still weird, you gotta be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Again?
It's,
what?
That annoys me in movies too at a certain point. It's like, yeah, in this game, you're dying and then coming back to life.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, nothing about any scenario should be shocking you anymore. Yeah. You reach a point where you're like, all right, all bets are off.
You know that something's up.
Yeah.
So just like, go with it.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't be a fucking weirdo about it. But yeah, so Returnal is the rest mode thing hypothetically should work, because if you didn't listen last week, the developers are like, if you want to pause it, use the rest mode, which for me up until this point had been consistently crashing.
Yep.
I didn't use it because it didn't work.
Yep.
Now it does work, and I'm still too nervous to use it.
Well, funnily enough, mine was fine, and now it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
So something's going on in our respective houses that is the opposite of each other, where whatever they've fixed for you has fucked it for me.
I've got the left penis version of a PS5, and you've got the right penis. I'm going to get... Let's never bring this particular through line up again.
I don't know.
I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it.
I don't know.
It's funny how applicable it is to almost everything we've talked about.
I don't want
to
ever think of it again. But yeah, it's still a very fun game. Are you enjoying
it's a great
Returnal
game. I'm enjoying it a lot.
You
even
thought
though
you'd hate it.
I thought I would like all of it, except for the fact that it's a rogue-like, which I still stand by. I still wish that it was just a straightforward, like, crafted action-adventure game with a linear kind of progression. I am enjoying the thing of like feeling yourself get a bit better at it, and that's all very satisfying, but it still is not my favorite type of genre to play. But all the setting is great, the music is great, the score and the atmosphere is incredible. It feels awesome to play, the movement is incredible, and yeah, just all the proper next gen-y stuff about it. Like the haptic triggers, which I kind of feel the same as you, that it's so you've for aim you hold the left trigger halfway down to aim your main weapon, and then all the way down to switch to your alt weapon, that it is sometimes in the heat of battle it's kind of a bit difficult. You sort of accidentally switch onto the alt one.
Yeah.
But I think the main reason for that is just because it's such a new thing. Like, we haven't really had a button mechanic like that in a game before, so we're just not used to doing it, and in practice it's fucking great. I much prefer that over just having to, like, you know, push left on the D-pad to toggle the alt fire on or off. Like, just the seamlessness of just it's the same button, but you just hold it a different way does feel really good, and does lead to a bit more immersion than just having to, like, duck out and, you know, open a wheel menu or whatever.
That's true. I do like it when I'm on top of it.
Yeah. And the thing of the, you know, when the alt weapon is recharged and the sound to let you know that comes out of the controller,
right.
Like you can't miss that system is ready again.
I didn't know that happens because I'm wearing headphones.
Right. So yeah.
You can miss it. I'd like you to respect my experiences.
If
as
you're
the
looking
alpha in the room,
in the wrong
because
direction
of my three penises.
Oh, here we go.
I don't want to talk about it. But I'm very frustrated that it's stuck in my head. Yeah, all of those little bits are really cool in it.
Yeah, I think it's ultimately, I'm still glad I got it, and I'm still going to like chip away at it and have little sessions with it here and there. It is nice to play like a properly next-gen feeling game, but more than anything, it's just got me really excited for Ratchet & Clank, which is more my speed of game, and I realized like a lot of these same systems presumably will be present in that game in a package that is slightly more appealing to me and what I want out of a game with like progression and stuff. But if they nail the same like haptic trigger use and all that kind of stuff, and it looks like that game looks stunning as well.
You'd imagine they would too, because those games are often about the weird weapons that they have and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so true.
You'd imagine they'd be doing something with the triggers and the bits and pieces that you've got on a not PS5. Not just
the loading times, because that's the thing I think we've seen so far, right? It's like, oh, wow, immediately you jump into a rift and you're in a new level.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm finding a little bit with Returnal, again, with the roguelike thing, and I said this to you over the weekend, Adam, that you end up in these arenas where you're fighting a lot of different monsters, and because they're procedurally generated, they're not like perfectly designed for these encounters. So sometimes I'm kind of finding myself like backed into areas in a way that feels a little sort of unfair, because it's purely because, you know, it's not like, oh, the area has been designed like this and you can get trapped in it. It's like a little bit unintuitive for these encounters sometimes, but
I've hit a point where I'm starting to see some of the same rooms pop up on runs, so I don't know how much of which is being generated and what if it's just standard chunks that they're mixing and matching.
Yeah, and there are points kind of like halfway through that are the same. Like you have these points where it's like, do this stuff to find this key and open this, and then that little area is always the same.
Right.
And then in order to get that key, you head out into probably five rooms in a row that are procedurally generated, but they're always going to have like, for example, the key at the end of them that then you need to go back and open the door with.
Right. Or there's like a laser that is moving back and forth across a certain shaped walkway that will be identical but just in a different place from time to time. So, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it still.
It's a cool game. It's a really cool game. I would say it does still... The thing with this style of game is that it kind of prevents it, for me at least, from feeling like a truly AAA title. Which it is. It's $120. Mm. It is like the first kind of big exclusive after launch that it sort of feels like, yeah, obviously if you like this style of game, that won't be an issue to you. But for anyone else, it is very arcadey. I would say maybe wait for a bit of a drop in price.
Sure. I think if you pick, if you got this for half of what it is or whatever, you'd be, or like, you know, they do those deep sales in the future.
Yeah.
It is a real good one that you're probably going to latch onto even if you don't normally like this stuff.
I would agree. Mm. Yeah. Because but all the movement and the shooting and stuff, it all feels great. And the sense of atmosphere and the style of it is, even though it's pretty blank canvas, space person stranded on a mysterious land, it's still done so well and with enough like kind of interesting stuff to it that doesn't feel too tropey or too like anything that's too played out.
Totally. I'm still really enjoying it. And it's pretty meaty. There's a lot to
it. Yeah, know. There's a lot of systems that I kind of had to look up, and it's one of those things where you kind of fuck around and it does a pretty good job of explaining stuff to you, but then you go online and you dig a little deeper and you find out a bit more stuff about it, and then you sort of want to do another run immediately because you're like, that's how that thing works that I didn't quite understand.
It's not one of those sorts of games where it's like linear and just over in like 10 hours.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to go back, even if it tries to get you to go back through it again.
Mm.
We all played Resident Evil 8 this week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good game, though. I don't know why I'm coming into it negatively comparing it to Returnal.
Mm.
But it's a very different thing and very much... Let's talk about Resident Evil 8.
Resident Evil...
Village.
Eightledge.
V8.
Yeah. Resident Evil. Resident Evil.
Yes.
Guys, I think it's...
Resident Evil Ford, the high point so far of the series.
I think you'll find it's actually called Biohazard. Biohazard Village.
Drive-o-hazard.
Holden.
It's like Hazard Course or something like that, like a type of destruction derby thing.
A hazard perception test.
Biohazard perception test.
The thing to get your L plates when you're 16.
Yes.
Biohazard
Village is a terrible name. That makes it sound like a bad game.
I guess so.
Biohazard Village.
Is that what it's called in Japan still? It must be.
I guess.
Because it's like a student film or something. Biohazard Village.
Even though it's probably meant to be Biohazard colon village, village. Right?
Yeah. 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 Well, because this isn't like I don't like the name Resident Evil Village either. I think village is a silly yeah. word for this. But Resident Evil 8 is the better version of the name for the most recent Resident Evil game, which is out on everything other than the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very good Resident Evil game.
Yes.
End of review.
Yeah. Oh. For the most part.
I didn't get to say anything.
Nah, too bad. Should have gotten in there.
I guess I
me
got
and
to
my five dicks hate just on jumped in there first.
Hate on Biohazard Village.
Yeah, for the most part, I think I agree. I probably, well, yeah, we're going to do pretty general stuff and then we're going to get a bit spoilery yeah. with it's it because we've all finished it, which I can't yeah. remember the last time we all finished a game before the ep.
Yeah.
Last of Us, I guess.
Last of Us 2.
But
probably.
I think I'd only finished that in the first episode.
In the first week. Yeah,
yeah, true.
Because, yeah, it's about 10 hours long. Mm-hmm. It is a very, it's a linear game.
Mm-hmm.
I do really like that about these games that, like, yeah, not everything you get needs to be, yeah, like with Returnal, basically endless if you yeah. want it to be, or a 100-hour JRPG.
Yes.
I love when something like this comes along that just slots in and it'll take maybe a week to get through.
Well, and when you're done, this isn't a spoiler, you can replay the story with the weapons that you unlocked and that sort of thing. You can. There's a mercenaries mode, which has yes. been some of the other ones that I've been messing with a bit too, and we'll talk about later. But
that's, I think that's always been their kind of intent with these games is yeah. that they're not incredibly long to finish and they really build them to, because you get these completion points things, and this has been in pretty much all of them, I think, right? Where there's you then can unlock unlimited ammo and stuff. So
yeah.
you do like multiple runs on it, and then I think hypothetically you could have one final run where you have every gun with unlimited ammo and you can just really sail through yeah. the game. If you want.
So same thing again. This is a Resident Evil game completely. It is Resident Evil 7 too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes. way more so than I was expecting where, you know, in the lead up to it, they were going like, we're kind of looking at 4 again and kind of trying to do something like that. It absolutely isn't anywhere near as good as that, I don't think, in terms of the combat.
Right.
Which I think is weirdly the part of this game that I found to be the weakest link in the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Because... And the reason I bring up the replaying thing in the mercenaries mode and everything, because it's not fun to shoot these enemies generally, because the only thing they do is sway left and right really far. They do these big shuffly kind of dodging so you can't get a headshot type moves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of all they do. And every different type of enemy is kind of all they do. And
yeah.
it's a little boring after a point. Just waiting for them to do their big step hugely to the left.
Yeah.
Clap 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
slide to the right. Jump 2 times. How does that dance go? God, I wish I could have remembered it. But you get the idea.
Yeah. yeah.
I saw a thing in a...
Doing the fucking hokey pokey.
Yeah. I saw a thing in a review in the lead up that said, oh, there's a much more... a broad range of enemies than there was in... That was a criticism that people had of 7, that there was really only the one enemy type.
Yeah, right.
And that is true aesthetically, but in terms of how they function, they're sort of... Yeah. There isn't. Yeah.
You got... I don't think this... Again, you got 3 sizes of Wolfman and you got a zombie.
Yeah.
There's some birds.
And some birds and some bosses.
Yeah.
The birds are pretty cool.
They're fine.
Yeah. yeah. Gargoyles.
Yeah. They're like gargoyle-y things. If you've got, you get a sniper rifle and they are just easy to snipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I was a little, really the only part of the game that kind of disappointed me. It's not terrible, but it's like 7, but expanded. And it's so going from the expectation of, oh, it's 4, but in first person to, oh, it's 7, but there's 2 more enemies.
Right.
Was a little... I sort of found it a bit like the, in the very, very beginning where you don't have much ammo and your guns aren't very powerful yet, I found the enemies kind of annoying because you feel very overpowered. Right. And the first maybe 2 hours, I wasn't really sure.
Overpowered by them, sorry.
Yeah. In the first couple of hours, I wasn't really sure if I liked this because it does take... It's very cutscene-y at the start.
Yeah.
It sort of drops you into the village and you sort of walk around a bit and there's more cutscene in it. It does take a little while until it just drops you into a bit of classic Resident Evil where you're in a castle and you're just looking around for keys and all that kind of stuff. It does take a couple of hours to get to that point. So to begin with, I sort of found the combat like just frustratingly hard and a bit unfair. But then you pretty quickly upgrade your weapons and then it is just, you can take things out very quickly.
Yeah.
And there's sort of no in between, I found. Like for me, it went from
Agreed.
Annoyingly tough to just fun, but a piece of piss.
Because you know exactly what they're going to do. There's none of the like, because they're holding swords, and sometimes if you shoot them, they'll drop the sword, but it never feels like you're aiming at their hand to make them drop the sword or the axe like it was in 4, and not to compare, but they're the same series, so of course you're going to compare them.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't feel like there's any like interactivity or whatever with it. You're doing the same action, like you're running backwards a little bit so that you've got a bit of space.
Yeah.
You are shooting sort of just center mass, trying to get a headshot at them while they bob and weave. And you're repeating that for every single encounter that there is in the game.
And once you get the shotgun, it's like boom, boom. It's two shots and they're done.
Well,
but let's talk. So Ben, you've also finished this.
Yeah.
And you were saying, I said, is this the first Resident Evil game you finished? And you said, not only that, it's the first one I've played more than an hour of.
Yeah, yeah. So I must have probably tried one or two, like actually back in the day.
Yeah.
And didn't like them, found them too scary, didn't like the fixed camera stuff, or, you know, a lot of the sort of tropes of the series.
Yeah.
At least early games. Fear. I was like, I'm not into this. Yeah.
You don't do well with horror stuff.
Yeah, but I also just didn't like the aesthetic. I never was hugely into zombies, really.
You're talking still back in the day.
Back in the day,
PS1, yeah.
And then I tried 7 last year, I think.
Right.
And was like, oh, this is cool. I like the presentation of this. The setting is cool. Found it like terrifying.
Yeah.
And only got through an hour or so, maybe.
Yeah.
Sort of when you first start getting attacked, really.
When Jack's chasing you around.
Pretty much. Yeah. But it was like, okay, this is cool. Like, it's such a well-done horror movie of a game that, you know, that's the reason I'm not wanting to play it more.
Yeah.
The big smart thing that I think they've taken from that, and I think we'll talk more about the visuals in a moment, but, like, I don't think that the setting or characters of this are quite as compelling as 7, I would say.
No, because they're kind of the same thing again, but European.
Just a bit less, but I think
this is the Deuce Bigelow European gigolo to the original Deuce Bigelow, where you're like, we've seen the wackiness that can happen to you when you're a gigolo, and we absolutely loved it. And now we're just seeing the same thing, but in Amsterdam, and I'm not so sure that Deuce is living up to the first movie.
But the one smart thing that I think they've kept is that what was so kind of what made 7, I think, scary in a new way for the series was having these antagonists that are a bit more sentient than just the zombies and that are talking to you and taunting you, and in it sort of being a real person who's gone fucking mental as opposed to just this monster that's grunting at you. Mm. And I think that's been a wise decision to just transplant that over, rather than just be in a village with just wordless stuff happening the whole time.
Especially with the last Resident Evil game was the 3 remake with you've got big grunty nemesis coming after you.
And that's
you.
All that happens, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so my expectations were probably going to be like that one I tried last year but couldn't really sink my teeth into.
Yeah.
And yeah, the start is like, it's very tense. It's very difficult. You don't have a lot of weapons or resources or anything. Mm. But yeah, like you guys said, pretty quickly it's just like, oh, and it's an action game from this point on. It's not a survival horror game. It's not just a horror game.
Yeah.
It's an action game in a horror setting. And I loved it. I actually found it playing like Bioshock, which, the combat...
It's actually called Biohazard.
Bioshock Village.
Bioshock here was called Reza Shock.
Yeah.
My favorite Paulie Shore movie is Resident Evil Dome.
Resident Dome.
It played like Bioshock. It was like,
I like Encino Man, which is in Japan called Encino Doki Panic. I was getting confused with Doki Doki Literature Club, and I was like, no, that can't have been what the Mario game
Insoki
was called.
Insoki Panic.
and Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. But Mario isn't man anyway. I'm thinking of Mega Man.
Yeah.
Encino Man is called Rock Man in Japan.
There we go.
Fuck.
Which kind of works still for Encino Man.
I was yawning for the first 10 minutes. I'm not on today. I'm really struggling with today.
I had no issues with the combat. Like, it was simple, but it was just, it's like, yeah, it's an obstacle to get past. It's not a combat-focused game in my mind.
The fact that it is an action game this time, though, turns it kind of into that.
Yeah, but I think like the same as Bioshock, especially Bioshock Infinite, which I know a lot of people didn't like the combat in specifically.
Right.
I think it's a very good comparison for me, having played Infinite and no other Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, the combat's there to be an obstacle. It's very simplistic, but I found it satisfying and rewarding. But yeah, it's mainly there to slow you down going through a fun story in a really interesting setting. And yeah, like I haven't played Resident Evil 4, so I don't get the comparisons there of sort of the gothic horror style. But as someone who likes the kind of movies that would be compared to Village, I loved the setting. I loved it. Loved the characters. I loved the way it played with those tropes and in introduce some more.
Yeah.
Visually is fucking stunning.
It looks so good.
And the performances were all cool as well. My issues really only were with where the plot goes. Because it goes in a fucking ridiculous direction.
That's the Resident Evil part that is that. We'll talk about that. We're going to do like spoilery stuff at the end of this as well because we've all finished it.
I didn't mind the combat all that much, even though I didn't really love it. But I think definitely for my personal tastes, and this is sort of not really spoiler, but I guess maybe verging on it, the kind of balance of sort of action-y stuff versus puzzly Resident Evil stuff, for my personal taste, I probably would have rathered 10 to 15% more of just the sort of being in a house and doing all the puzzle solving kind of stuff.
Right.
I wouldn't have minded maybe like one more mansion or something to explore at the expense of the very action-focused back half of this.
I agree with that just because, the reason I bring the action stuff up, but like the guns feel good to shoot and the enemies feel good to shoot and everything, but it just is really simplistic in a way that the series has been better than before. And when they're making those comparisons to 4, I don't know if they're making it just because they're like, we're in Europe again.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a bit deliberate because they do that. And also the other big thing that I really liked is that they bring back the merchant.
Right.
Well, not the same merchant, but the concept of a merchant, which wasn't in 7 and was a big thing in 4.
Yeah.
And the merchant in this kind of, he's got like a little Easter eggy thing where he references the catchphrase of the merchant in 4.
Right.
So I think kind of doing those things
Shagadelic,
is pretty,
baby.
I think that's pretty deliberate, like they kind of are going for that feel again. And he's a great character. Like I really like him and he's the weird sort of fact that he just is able to kind of pop up anywhere.
Yeah,
he's
this
kind
sick.
Of big fat guy that pops out of a cupboard, basically.
We'll get into some spoiler stuff with him later as well. It is fine the whole way through, but just like a slight disappointment from the peaks of the series, you know. Right. By the end, there's some enemies that are slightly more interesting to fight as well because they change things up a little bit.
But it kind of is strange because it feels like I would agree that it feels like they haven't really prioritized this as a combat heavy game, that then in the back end of it, they are really leaning into it.
Because then the mercenaries mode that you unlock after you're done is all combat. It's like an arcadey thing, and you go, have either of you messed with that at all?
No. I've watched some footage of it, but I haven't played it yet.
It's pretty fun.
Right.
And they throw lots and lots of enemies at you to sort of, so you're like doing a time rush thing, and it's you get more time if you kill enemies, you get more points for it. So you're trying to balance up how long things are taking you before you go to the exit versus how many points you can gain by staying there. And you're like gathering resources and stuff between different rounds, and it's quite fun. I enjoy it, but it does also highlight how sort of stiff and not as dynamic or whatever. Like it's not as environment based the combat as it has been in like 4 and stuff. I found that loop of runaway, turn around, shoot, runaway, turn around, shoot, just a little draining by the end.
Yeah.
Right.
But the reason, the reason I bring this up first is because every other aspect of the game is super fun.
It
looks fantastic. The sound and everything is spot on. The environments are realized very well.
The environmental design in these games is always like some of the best of just like you walk into a shack and you just immediately, the first thing that you see, your first like view of this room gives you everything about what's going on here. There'll be like a bed where the, you know, the blankets are all kind of tossed off, and then there's like a scraping of blood across the floor. There's like,
usually the tossing off happens in the morning.
Whoa. All right.
You know, there'll be like penises. It takes forever. I'm like,
a knocked over thing of milk.
Look like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins when I'm trying to.
Jesus Christ. I'm not really on today. Anyway, here's me miming Dick Van Dyke whacking off.
Yeah, I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah, exactly. I'm correct.
But yeah, just the amount of just little details that are in these like houses that you stumble across, where you just get this immediate picture of kind of what's happened here while still being mysterious. Like, yeah, they just are so good at loading these environments with details and making them feel, yeah, so believable and not video gamey, not just like someone's gone, yep, table here, that'll do. Like,
detail is definitely the thing in this, because you're in that first person perspective too, and it's a very intense close up one as well. It's like more focused in than a lot of games. You can see every little bit and piece of every environment. It really works. It does that thing I love where at the start of the game, you're at a vantage point where you can see everywhere you're going to go throughout the game, which is fucking cool. I remember making a note of it at the time, going like, well, there's a big windmill over there. I better go to the big windmill.
Yes. Right.
And you do. I went there. I churned a bit of butter. It was great fun.
I think it's not just the like specific like room-based design. Mm. The level design, like the quote-unquote, because it's like, you know, you have the village in a bunch of other areas.
Yeah.
But the village especially, it sort of morphs and changes throughout the game, but it does have a specific layout that unlocks a la Castlevania or something like that.
Kinda,
bits and pieces, you know, you go around the back and unlock a door that, you know, it unfolds itself.
Yeah.
Despite being, you know, like a series of like eight houses.
And it all pans down to it's essentially the red key you need to find.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, some European village version of a red key, but it works.
Yes.
You get in, and then you can get into like the back part of a house, which means that you can get like this new gun or this new upgrade for the gun or whatever it is. There's a bit, maybe I think 2/3 of the way through, where there's not really time progression, but it does. There's a bit where I think after you've come out of maybe the second or third, because basically you're Ethan Winters, from
dog shit character, by the way.
So bad.
He is so far and away the absolute worst part of this game.
Yeah.
For a series that is already known for some pretty bad writing at times, his dialogue in particular is, and beyond just him being a dumb character, it's just awful. Like, the number
of times
he seems
like a fuckhead.
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily know if that's like a deliberate choice, or if it's just like the number of times he's just walking around going, what the fuck's going on?
Yes.
It really irritates. I'm fine with the campiness of it.
Yeah.
Mm. But this wasn't campy. This was just lazy with him going like,
I think so.
Oh, this is fucked up. It's just like the
most. What just happened?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what just happened?
Yeah.
I have the context for this.
Yes.
How do you not? Were you not paying attention earlier?
It's insane.
Because 90% of his thing, the story is in basic, your daughter is missing. She's in this village somewhere. Little baby daughter.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's been taken. She's in this village. And that means that 90% of what the main character who you're playing as says throughout the game is like, give me back my daughter, you fucking bitch.
Yes.
And he's just like, well, he's really got an attitude about it that like, forget your daughter's missing, but there's no need for the casual sexism, my friend.
It's that and just, the absolute stupidity. Like,
he just seems like a dumbass,
he's
right?
Just had his eyes closed for an entire scene.
Yeah.
And then he looks back and he's like, wait, what was that thing? It's like, it was a big wolf.
Yeah.
you know, like,
Whoa. Am I at a Starbucks here? What's going on? Like, he just seems like this idiot American dude who fucking is way out of his depth.
Yeah.
And it makes it harder to get attached to the story, the main story of the game.
I think because he's trying to save a baby, I was like, yes, this guy is a fucking idiot, but I'm still completely attached to the motivation. I'm not taken out of the story or you know, my immersion is not broken by him being a fuckhead.
It annoyed me, but I suppose not. Because, like, there's some stuff that happens. We'll talk about it in the spoiler thing.
To be honest, it didn't even really bother me as him being an idiot.
Mm.
It honestly, to me, read more like bad, just lazy writing.
Right.
If you read it as a deliberate stylistic choice of, like, hey, you're this guy who's like a fucking bonehead and he's trying to save his kid, it's like, that I could sort of almost get behind. Like, I could get over that because it'd be like, well, that's what they've decided to. That's the story they've decided to tell. That's the character they've decided to put you in control of. And I didn't really find too much of that with him in Seven.
Right.
Is the other thing. With this, it was just like he pipes up all the time and it is just this absolute nothing dialogue. Right. Yep. And a dumb guy going like, oh, I don't get what's happening. It's like, that's at least something if you do it, if you write it in an eloquent way. But it's literally him going like, oh, this is so fucked up. Just constantly. Yeah. It's like,
do you know what? Fuck, they recorded a lot of panting.
Yeah.
Yes. He is constantly panting. If you're wearing headphones, the whole time you're playing this game, someone is breathing in your ear. And that did, when I noticed it, become a little annoying, weirdly.
Yeah.
Because when you're just walking slowly, standing still, he's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm in a scary castle.
I mean, that's it, right? It's trying to make you feel scared by association.
Yeah. Boy. Oh, what I was about to say
scared
before.
Scared as a wet willy.
The
12 wet willies that I've got.
About two-thirds of the way through the game when you come in from the... it's a village with basically four kind of, you know...
Places to visit.
Places to visit around it. But then when you complete them, kind of unlock different things.
Yeah.
And when you come out of, I think it's maybe the third one, there's been like a slight shift where the sun is now out a bit more than it was before. And just the way that the light hitting the snow looks, I mean, we all played on the PS5, assume? Yeah. It looks fantastic. Like in a game that's already been looking great all the way through, just putting in this one new lighting effect in this environment that you've already been in for 6 hours or so at this point. It really just hits you again, like how good it all looks. And I really liked that little... Just that little shift, just doing that one little thing to kind of make it feel like a bit fresh again.
It was the sun going down, right? That's the sun going down and twilight and the sun sort of coming in. And that for me was like, oh, fuck. Is it going to be night soon? Because the whole game is taking place during the day to this point. Like a snowy, wintry, sort of glary, featureless, you know, blind sort of weather situation. But yeah, when it was like... Oh, fuck, is the sun going down? Am I going to have to play the rest of this game in the dark?
Mm.
That's a great ominous feeling for it to evoke.
It really works. There's one bit where, like, there's a big lake and the water looks like shit for some reason. That stood out to me. But because everything else just looks really great, especially on the newer consoles, it runs at a pretty solid 60 all the time.
Yep.
Even with, like, ray tracing effects on. It dips a little bit with that stuff on sometimes, but not... in a crazy way.
Yeah.
It's really impressive from that point for sure.
Ooh, yeah, the water's a little weak and there were like one or two little bits where I noticed some sort of dodgy textures. There's a bit where you're like behind a building and it's sort of near the water. So I think it's meant to be snow mixed in with like a little moss and it just was like which is hard because it's already like meant to be a pretty drab, murky texture.
Mm-hmm.
But it just looked a bit... It just looked a bit low res and a bit unfinished, which again only sticks out because everything else is so perfect that, like, especially walking around that first mansion where the big tall lady is in, all of that, like that big opulent, like gold everywhere, like
or
it
like
just
feathered or whatever you call it, the little embossed walls and shit.
Even
it
just like seeing the like creases in a leather chair was like. That looks real. Yeah. That actually looks real. It's so detailed.
Cut to you like looking at your chair while playing. Wow. I think that it feels a little nitpicky to even talk about like the shitty dialogue and the whatever because everything in the game is so charming, like not in a, you know, sweet way, but like so compelling that like the combat being a little less intricate than I maybe would have wanted is only a gripe because I really enjoy what's there and like it feels really good to do. So I kind of wish it went further.
Mm-hmm.
The little bit, the story is stupid, but it's campy and cheesy and fun.
The overall story itself I was fine with because of like the conventions of it being Resident Evil. It was, it was just more the actual moment to moment dialogue, even with some of the other characters.
Mm.
Just, it just bothered me because it didn't feel camp. It felt kind of... unfinished and but I think overall it's really good too, because it coming off the back of Seven, which, as we've talked about a bit before, which, by the way, if you want to hear us talk more about Resident Evil, we've got a premium episode on Bandcamp where we talked about the whole series.
Yeah,
we've got a new one about Metal Gear Solid coming out on Tuesday as well. It's already there if you're on that tier on Patreon.
Yes.
But there's a Metal Gear Solid one showing up this coming Tuesday. The 18th of May.
The 18th of May.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
It is right.
I guess that's why I sounded it.
Go to our website, by the way, fillthegasuals.com.au. It's got a link to the Bandcamp, link to the Patreon. You get all that
all
shit.
All sorts of links. Maybe we'll put some links to some fun memes.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Our favorite search engines. That should come back. Websites having a links section would be great.
Sitemap.
But coming off the back of Seven, where, yeah, as we talk about in the premium episode about the series. Before Seven came out, the series was in a little bit of a hole. People were kind of off it. And Seven kind of really brought it back. And there were the two remakes. So, it is kind of back in favor with people. And a lot of times what tends to happen with a lot of series, and I think Resident Evil is guilty of too, they do one that people really like and they kind of misinterpret what people have really liked about that last one.
Right.
And then the follow-up kind of goes too far in one direction or doesn't quite get it right. And I think for the most part, this does a really great job of capitalizing what was good about Seven and what people liked about Seven.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I thought it mostly is the same. But then little things like adding the merchant to just mix it up and have it not just be this even though that is what I really like about these games, is that you know that the weapon you have at any given time, you are on a course where the arsenal that you have is just what you're meant to have.
Right.
It's because it's just what you're finding in the environment.
Right.
I do really like that in the other ones. But then this change up to if you just want to save your money and just completely max out the shotgun and not worry about anything else, you can have a slightly different play experience to someone else. And I kind of all the things to just kind of change going forward in this one, I think that was a really smart decision.
Definitely.
To sort of differentiate it from Seven while still retaining a lot of what made that one great.
I agree, because I think my favorite thing about this game is the thing that they improved on most from Seven, which is the level design is a kind of, you've got these different little areas that you'll go to, or littler areas, and then they're all kind of connected in a hubby kind of way. Me and my hubby loved playing this game. and that thing of getting those extra items, like you were saying, and going back to other areas and redoing the little bits there, it's God of War, I really liked about that game, that it felt like that. There's a lot of games that do it that don't come to mind for me at the minute. It's not quite Metroid level stuff.
No.
But it's a very satisfying...
Because Seven had multiple buildings, but they didn't really link up in the same way in a kind of quote-unquote overworld, even though it's not quite that, but...
No, but and you get these little treasure icons that show up on your map, and you get little bits of if you want to go hunt these animals that you need to cook meals at the guy, then they're here on the map. So it gives you little impetus to... a little bit of impetus to go and seek these things out. You move really slowly, so it takes you forever to get there.
Yeah.
But it's a very satisfying structure for the game. And I think that was my favorite thing. That and the Resident Evil kind of puzzles. It's got all of that stuff.
Right.
There. When you're doing that stuff, it's really satisfying.
I've seen in reviews, and I feel like they bring this up in nearly every Resident Evil game, that the puzzles are just quite easy and not too taxing. But I really like that about them.
I don't.
Really?
It's hard to just articulate what I felt about them, because it's all of the puzzles were basically once you figure it out, you just do that. You know, it's very hard to explain why you don't like a puzzle, but it's you just and sometimes it's well, read the note next to this.
They're
and
all
it'll tell you exactly
games.
How to do it.
Yeah. They're basically those room escape style puzzles.
Right.
It's a key is in a box and then the key goes to this box and you're just going through a series of
But
whatever.
Much like the sort of not semi-Metroid-esque exploration stuff, it's it's not quite a room escape game because it's a lot easier than I imagine those games are.
Right.
It's just sort of okay, now I know that I have to go to this room, get this thing, go to that room, put it back in. You just, It's all very easy. Well, it's very logical.
Will be on
it's
the
very
wall.
Apparent.
Like, there'll be a riddle that's hey, get the three sisters to face you or whatever.
Yes. I think I kind of agree with that, but I found it the enjoyable obstacle in the way that you found the combat and I did it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. Like for me, for me, it was just like, okay, we're just going to tick this off. Yes, exactly like you felt about the combat.
Yeah.
Because I think the reason I find it weird when reviews single that out about a new Resident Evil game where they'll go, oh, yeah, the puzzles are, you know, as simple as just looking at the solution on the wall. But it's like, they've always been that way in this series, I think. Like, they're not making this to be, you know, brain training or whatever. Like, they're not really trying to tax you. Like, you're right. Like, I think the approach is the same as the combat, where it's just meant to be this little thing that's there, and they want you to, like, quite easily get that dopamine hit of, oh, fuck, how good does it feel hearing the sound of that roller door going up?
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing that reviews of these games always focus on when they've never set out to make a super taxing puzzle game, and they haven't in the past. And it's weird that people think that it's letting the series down. Certainly in the ones I've read, you see that as a bit of a criticism when I think it's by design.
I really don't care about the series, so I'm just playing it as a game that I want to enjoy. And it's at the point of like, I understand why you include puzzles in this kind of game. It's, you know, increases the tension and it makes you like, feel satisfied when you solve them. But maybe I feel the way about them as you do with the combat, in the sense of like, well, if you're going to have a bunch of puzzles, make them good puzzles, or make them satisfying, or more complex, or more fun. Or don't include them at all. Like, let me explore this house and have scares and cutscenes and all that stuff, and don't have puzzles.
I do think sometimes they work contextually in like a, you know, if you're in this big opulent mansion and it's like, well, it just makes sense that there would be a hidden door here where all you have to do is put this item on the thing where it's missing from, and then that's going to open the door.
Like,
if it's, for me, if it's like, it feels like it just makes sense for this environment to function in this way.
Yes.
But then sometimes when it is a little crowbarred in of like, hey, go all the way over here and then get this thing and then put it in that, it's like, why? Why would this room have this in it?
And like, I think much like your issues with the combat increased as the game went on because there was more of it.
Right.
I had no issues with the puzzles in the castle, the initial castle. I had issues with every puzzle after that, basically.
So, like, the factory, you were like...
Factory was very frustrating, and then the other house with the... I don't want to spoil really anything, because it's... All of my enjoyment from this game came from being presented with these fun new characters and fun takes on gothic horror tropes.
Yeah.
But, there were a couple of locations where it was, like, a lot of puzzles, and it was like,
See, I started to really enjoy... Because, like, I know what the answer is, but I like walking between the two places to go and do it.
Right.
And, like,
for me, it was like, this is just a fetch quest.
I
don't know why, but it's satisfying in this
game. I would agree that I think the castle is the strongest puzzle area. Like, I think the castle is almost just this, like, perfect microcosm of what I like in Resident Evil, where it's like, you know, you've done a couple of the puzzle rooms and then you're in a new bit, and because you've opened a new bit out, there's going to be a couple of zombies in there. You're not going to be completely swamped by them, but you take them out and then you're back into just like, and then inevitably you hit a point where you feel like you've been in every room, but you still don't have that final thing. So the map system, as always, I mean, all the stuff that has always been great in these games is great. Like the very melodramatic little sting when you pick up an item.
It's
which
so
is
stupid.
So
just grabbing a fucking coin off of the ground. It's like, all
of that stuff, and like it like hovering in midair in front of you for a second. It's like, oh, I guess this is just a relic of these being older games with older style and older presentation.
It made more sense when you were picking up like four pixels off of a mantelpiece that you couldn't quite see. And they'd be like, oh, it's a bust.
Right.
I guess this is an enormous bust.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that it's...
Speaking of which, how about that vampire?
It's funny that it's a first-person perspective game, and yet, like when you use a key to open a door, the key just kind of floats in and unlocks. Yeah. It's like, couldn't be bothered to animate the hand actually doing that.
But it works for whatever reason. Like, there's problems with every aspect of this game, but them all kind of mixing into a pot. I reckon it makes the pace correct to have the puzzles and the combat in the way that they are, and the exploration in that sort of mix.
Oh, and again, back to the merchant thing, you previously in these games, you would upgrade your inventory space by finding a new backpack or whatever out in the world. And this time it's just purely save up the money to get it. So you can really challenge yourself and just decide, I'm never going to buy the bigger bag, or like, I always prioritized getting that. But again, that's a very funny, like, in-world inconsistency where you can run out of space to hold your guns because you don't have a big enough bag. But then there's a point later in the game where you pick up an object. Key objects don't count in towards your inventory space. And you have this object that is like the size of you.
Yeah.
That you're just able to like fit in and carry to another part of the map.
Well, maybe we should get into some more spoilery stuff for the people who want to hear it.
Yeah. I will say, yeah, overall, really enjoyed it. I do think it peaked at the castle. And it almost felt like everything after that I was like, this is fun, but it's not as good as that castle bit.
Right.
But it's, yeah, a really fun game. 10 hours. I reckon I think I finished it in like 9.5 or something. Like it's not like 10 hours is an average probably.
The rough whatever. Yeah, I don't remember my exact.
And because weirdly, completely opposite to Last of Us 2, I was running through the whole game.
Right.
I was like, after a certain point, I was like, all right, yeah, this is an action game. This is a BioShock or something.
Right.
I'm just going to run around everywhere. And
I think if the castle was your favorite bit, I'd say give the remake of 2 another crack.
Right.
Because it's scarier, but it's that same,
it's
that bit of the game done perfectly and done for an entire game.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
agreed.
Yeah.
But yes, fun game. I recommend it to basically anyone.
Same. I think it's great. Like,
I liked it as a whole. I think I have little nitpicks with bits and pieces of it because I like it so much. I'm like, if this was cranked up to here, then this game would be amazing.
Mm.
But it's very, very good as it is.
Yeah.
And I think it is great on every console
as
well.
Yeah, right.
I think it's a big recommend. And I think, I would agree that the only reason I'm being nitpicky is because the rest of it is so good and because this is just a series that has some really great entries in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard not to go in with like, this is what I personally like and want out of these games. And Capcom sometimes seem to have quite different thoughts about what they think a Resident Evil game is.
It's kind of nice though that every single one of them is quite different.
Yeah.
And you never really know what you're going to get from any given one of them.
I'm glad that there's as much of the stuff that I like in this one.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling whatever they do next, I think that the next thing they do, they'll fuck it and they'll go.
Well, it's a good time to be, because it's good to hear that this is an entry, a good entry point basically to the series as well.
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
For anyone who has finished it, or doesn't care.
We'll talk about the story. We'll talk about the characters, the weird plot beats, the weird stuff.
There's some specific things that I think would be fun to talk about.
But we're going
to
go... we really didn't touch on the story at all aside from a very high level. So,
yeah,
story stuff, it's all going to be spoiled.
It's coming
up. We're operating at a very high level, to be honest.
So if you're leaving us now, filthycasuals.com.au... Get on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Get a bonus episode every week. Get early access to the YouTube videos.
Oh,
and
yes.
The Patreon, the Bandcamp bonuses when we do them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Metal Gear Solid 1 next week.
Yep. Yeah.
Coming out. If you want more Resi Evil, that's up. It's on Bandcamp. Filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
That's right.
I believe.
Think,
yeah. Go listen to more Resident Evil chat.
Or stay and listen to a little more Resident Evil chat after this. Resident Evil. There it was.
Okay.
All right.
This is full spoiler zone now.
Full spoiler zone. It's a sealed section.
So how about when Mia gets killed right at the start? Yeah.
So at the very beginning, Mia gets killed, and then later on, one of the first people that you meet in the village, Ethan is talking to her, and she says something like, oh, your family sound great. And he goes, yeah, I hope you get to meet them someday. It's like, what do you mean them? You just saw your wife get murdered, you fucking moron.
Your baby's probably dead. You get that, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying you're going to kill this woman? Because you won't get the chance because she's about to die in 19 seconds.
Yep.
It's very weird how all of those characters get introduced and then immediately killed in that house. There's like the six or seven of them all in there. There's the drunk guy who gives a big speech.
Yep, yep.
And that's what I mean about
it's like
the
quiet
first...
older like is they introduced like a team,
a ragtag group.
They burn them to death.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about the first couple of hours not really being sure if I liked it because it would sort of start to let you do something and then it would. And typically these games are just like, what's going on? Where am I? Okay, here I am. I'm in this building and now I've just got to work my way out.
That's
typically all you get is maybe 15 minutes. And then this felt like it was sort of dropping you here and then dropping you there and that whole thing was just like, why did that sequence need to be in there? There was no real gameplay in it.
I guess it shows you that it used to be a functional village, but like you kind of already get that from how it looks.
Of course you get that. Yeah, there's houses and stuff. Like.
So, yeah, I think that dissuades me for, or discourages me from replaying this game like they want you to as well.
Because, I know, that was a way
first couple of hours are pretty weirdly linear. And I mean, the whole game is linear, but they're story heavy.
Yep, yeah, a lot of cutscenes.
Unimportant story that doesn't come back. Because then you meet the weird family of Mother Miranda in a very similar way to Seven.
Yeah.
At the dinner table thing. They're all kind of just like, oh, we got your prisoner.
Yes.
And then there's that escape sequence and all of that. It's not really until after that escape sequence that the game actually
then you're
kicks
on,
off.
Yeah. And again, like that stuff all done a little less eloquent. Like you being at the dinner table in Seven was just so well done and such a good device and setup. And the whole, the setup of the kind of the family in this, little less eloquently done, I thought. How about the bit where you're trying to escape from the burning building and his solution is to get into a car and ram the wall, which just fucks the car and doesn't work. And then the immediate cue is, try it again.
Yeah.
Hit the gas again.
Yeah. Climbing up a burning building at that point, and then like that girl falls and you're like, why does everyone keep dying on me?
Yes, yeah. That was my favorite, really least favorite weird line.
Yeah, it's, and then immediately followed by like, I think he basically says, I can't believe this is happening again.
Yeah.
It's very weird at the start.
You mentioned like, there's a little mosquito buzzing around. A little
fly.
They sort of they include that sort of bunch of people to convince you like, this is a real village and it's been taken. It failed to convince me. At no point did I feel like this was a functioning village with people who had like been under the thrall of a sorceress or whatever.
Right.
It always was just like, this is a fucking ruin. Like this is a snow covered village that like it's filled with werewolves. It's
it always was.
Yeah,
but nothing about it made me be like, these people, these real people had real lives and they've been. Yeah,
I had forgotten about it until about that, you know, segment and what it was meaning to imply until we just started talking about it then.
Right.
Like I never, like when I was looking through the village again, I wasn't remembering those people and going like, they all live there. It just completely left my mind.
Same.
Because it was so inconsequential to the rest of, what you end up doing in all the different various castles. So the first one you're in is big opulent castle.
Yeah.
Run by, how do you say her name?
Lady Dimitrescu.
Dimitrescu.
Yeah, the large, the 7-8 foot tall
nine
foot tall woman,
I believe.
Damn. Yeah. She's grown by the minute.
Yeah, she's got as many feet as you got dicks.
Wow, 104 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second one is a kind of, I kind of liked the second one where the little doll.
Yeah,
lady.
I didn't like that one really at all.
It's
like,
the most puzzly one,
and it's very like shitty thriller like. Like character popping up in your vision and disappearing again. It's like sort of like schlocky mid-2000s horror movie.
I liked the change of pace just for the fact that it removes all your weapons and it's a bit more survival. Maybe it would have been a bit more if it's as being the second one that you do. It's maybe it would have been a bit more effective as the third one is like a real change of pace to completely strip all that away. But
I guess so. Because I kind of like that. That's the one I was thinking of when I'm saying escape room. Because it kind of sequence is that. The big gross fucking fetus baby that's chasing you, I think, is one of the grossest looking things.
Yeah, very yuck.
It's really
slimy. But I think I said in the chat, like, it didn't scare me at all.
No.
It was like, it was giggling the whole time.
Because it's
like,
an actual baby that they've recorded and just pitched down with.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But and that sequence, it's like, well, you just go run backwards and then wait until it goes past and go, you know, like, there was not a lot of challenge to it. It wasn't. Even when it popped out initially, it didn't give me a big scare. I was like, oh, is that like a big baby? Okay.
I definitely don't find dolls creepy in the
way. Yeah, me neither.
But I kind of like that one that you didn't have this big over the top boss fight.
Yeah.
Like your boss fight was just walk through the room and find where the actual doll is hiding. I kind of like that as a bit of a knowing that stuff was just going to eventually ramp up to the nth degree.
Me too.
I liked it as like a little palate cleanser and again the self-contained sort of nature of it basically just being a lot of intricate puzzles over the course of like three rooms.
I enjoyed that one too. And then you get like a big boss kind of if you go out and then go back to that like There's the graveyard thing with like a missing half of the stone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's like a big axe guy there.
Yep.
When you complete that, and he was fun to fight. Mm-hmm. Then there's like a second one later just before the factory in like his own little meat shack. Did you go to him?
I can't remember meat if shack. I did or not.
He has a bunch of meat in his shack.
Maybe. I think I did pretty, like I did as much as I could figure out to do.
Right.
Because there was a bunch of other stuff. I think I did. There's a few gates where you're like, oh, I can go through that gate now or proceed with the story.
Right.
I think I did all of that.
Yeah. I tried to go back and get all the treasure chests just because I realized they were going to be very valuable.
There was a treasure chest in his house, so you probably did it.
Okay. Yeah.
I really liked all that side stuff. That was probably my favorite part was going back and finding those extra things.
Yep. Once that popped up on the map or just, uncovering the thing and finding out. Yeah. Like it's so easy to miss, but bringing the drawbridge down that means that you can get into the boat and go to the area where there's like heaps of treasure.
Yeah,
and then there's a little fishing bit that's got the like kind of rare fish for the cooking.
It's fucking annoying because there's a couple of fish spots that you can miss if you progress the story too far. Like there's one at that they've got like the little. Research station or whatever, little base set up, and the fish eats it, comes and smashes it in like a cutscene.
Oh.
There's some fish just before that you can't get back to. So I was one fish away from eating every meal.
Oh man,
I'm gonna explode.
Oh no!
But getting all those meals and all the animals and hunting finding all the treasures was really fun.
That's a neat little addition too. Yeah,
because I definitely think that third one, the fish boss, is the weakest section.
Oh, I like the fish boss.
Yeah, me too.
I hated it. Yeah, it was so stupid.
I didn't like the dolls. Everything about the dolls. I guess every aspect of it was like, well, this is fine. I don't hate it, but it's not my preference. And then the fish one was like. Sick design, cool monster.
Yeah.
I loved sort of running around and exploring and like dropping things down and like going oh shit, he's coming.
But you
like,
just weren't in danger at any point because you just wait for him to go whoosh and then you walk across.
Right. Sure. But in the doll one, you're literally not in danger, like except for the baby.
I guess a baby can eat you. But just something about the fish one. I think that boss just didn't do it. The actual fighting when he turns into the land fish version was good.
Yeah, and I think the character design as well and performance, everything about it, I was like, oh, this is an interesting enemy. Yeah,
and I liked I thought that area was cool too, just this kind of outdoor swampy bit I sort of liked. And then you go into
the stronghold bit. And the big beardy werewolf fights you.
That's it. And the stronghold is just pure comp. There's no puzzle stuff in there.
And it's quite short because you're going through that to get to the factory.
Yes.
This is when it turned for me and when I say I would have liked 15% more of the puzzly kind of stuff. I could have maybe done without... Maybe if the factory had been a bit less... combat-y or a bit less, but I think that the big thing that I wanted to say in the main ep that is very spoilery, that is incredible that they managed to go against what I assume must have been an overwhelming impulse in at Capcom, is not to do the classic Resident Evil trick of the last quarter of the game taking place somewhere completely unrelated to everything that you've been doing.
Right.
Like the fact that it's still the factory, I guess you could say, is pretty
removed from it.
But
it,
but it doesn't, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's
you
not
haven't even seen
removed.
It yet. Yeah. Yeah. Until you get to it, you don't know that the factory is there. It's like a stronghold, the swamp.
You hear them talk about it a bit, I think. Someone says something about Heisenberg's factory.
Yeah, you see it at the start.
Do you see it? Right.
You do, yeah. Okay. You get told about it as opposed to 7 where there's a final bit that is just... You're
that
in this
tanker,
creepy Louisiana house and then you're just in somewhere that is like...
Right.
That is the kind of ties in to the overall Resident Evil story but has nothing to do with anything you've been doing in the game and it's still fine but it's like, this isn't
it's
what I've been
flat.
Enjoying about this. Yeah.
Absolutely, because rather than doing that, at the end of this one they go, you know what, I bet everyone's sick of this game by now. Let's put a different game in for the last half an hour.
Right, yeah.
So you get given this like tank...
Yeah, that's right.
And then you fight Heisenberg in this tank, and that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
I liked it, though.
I loved it.
If you're going to do this, like, this is something else I feel like they don't always get right. Like, they want to go big with, like, the final boss, and sometimes it just feels a bit... It doesn't quite work for whatever reason, either mechanically or it's sort of just into the realm of just... This isn't, like... I think that was a pretty common issue that people had with the end of Seven, that the right. boss ends up being like the size of the house, and it's like, this isn't really eerie anymore. This is right. just a big spectacle. But it kind of right. works here mm. because there hasn't really been that much eeriness in this to begin with.
No, so true. And if you're going to go big spectacle, they do it in a Call of Duty game,
yeah.
which I think worked for yeah. me. It was yeah. fun just yeah. mowing down all of these enemies that you've been fighting who have been more difficult to fight the whole game.
Yeah.
Just fucking going through with your night vision on.
I yeah. loved it.
So stupid.
It felt like... I mean, it wasn't that hard up until that point, but it no. was harder and it was like tense and you were like scrabbling for resources and money and shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, to give you this sort of like blowout sequence
mm.
was great. It was really, really fun.
I agree. Good fun. A weirdly disappointing boss fight after that. The yeah. actual Mother right. Miranda one yeah. wasn't very good. Very
I kind like- of, I don't know why my expectations were this, but I was like, the four bosses will be the bosses and then the Mother Miranda will be like, I honestly thought maybe just a cutscene. I didn't even think maybe right. that they were going to be a boss. I thought maybe it would be like revealed to be Mia or like I was sort of yeah. like, okay, this hasn't been a as present a character
no, she's
as
not
these
at all.
Bosses were. So
that's part of what I think makes the encounter mechanically is a bit underwhelming, but also. Yeah. Yeah, she hasn't really been a figure in the rest of
no.
the game.
You get a lot of context for her in just little diaries and stuff right, right before fighting her.
Yeah. Mm.
Some of that stuff I liked. I liked that...
It was all interesting.
The mm. guy who set up Umbrella met her
yep.
and she like gave him the idea. And that's pretty stupid, but at the same time, it's fun.
And yeah. then like, yeah, being like, here is the backstory for Lady Dimitrescu. Here is the backstory yeah. for her. It's like, well, this is interesting, but could you have worked this in... another way other than yeah. just having me read journals before the boss battle.
There's pepperings of it throughout mm. the rest of it. You mm. kind of get an idea of it.
It
enough
is done,
that it didn't
yeah.
need that stuff at the end to be like, here's exactly who this Moreau guy is.
And that stuff
and
was done
you thought.
Subtly enough when it was done previously. It is weird that they were just like, and here's the end of the book. Just read it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
But it's still a fun end.
Yeah.
And I like the setup of... like, I didn't really honestly get the twist thing of Ethan being dead since Seven and he's made of mold now, but he didn't know it.
That's
but
yeah,
Mia
it's
did,
crazy.
And Mia was stolen, and Mother Miranda was Mia.
Yep.
Even though she could have just, if she's Mia, she's real powerful. She could have just fucking taken the baby.
It's
like,
funny.
It doesn't
that
make sense that she was cooking you dinner.
No, it does not.
It's funny that they're
and acting kind of annoying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, like just a little bit argumentative.
Yeah.
It's funny that they're like, we knew that Miranda could change shape, so we came in and killed her. But what we weren't prepared for is that she'd also be able to pretend to be dead.
Yeah.
That is fucking ridiculous.
It makes no sense, that stuff.
Absolutely none.
And I guess Ethan needs to be the mold thing so that the baby is magic.
Right.
I guess
right.
That's why they did
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I think Mia was already dead and
infected.
Moldy. So
yeah.
I thought like...
It, oh, yeah.
Isn't that the whole thing from Seven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So it doesn't make any sense.
But I like the setup of now here's teenage Rose.
Right.
Being
so we then
the protagonist for the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do the boss. Ethan then dies and we see a flash forward 18 years or something.
Maybe.
Something
she's
like
got
that.
Tests and exams, so maybe 16,
16
yeah.
years,
17
which
years.
Again, it's like, so when, what year are we in? Is 7,
oh, yeah.
is 8 meant to be present?
I think it's
day
like
and...
near future probably. I think all the Resident Evils are like always a couple years ahead.
Right.
Because it was like 98 was the setting of the first one, which was like came out in 95 or 6.
Mm. Right.
I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know what? I might be right. I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's the actual answer.
It just is a, yeah. So yeah, they seem to rather than just go, here's the end, you know, Ethan gets away or leaving it yeah. a bit open-ended about what they might do next. They seem to be at the end of this very clearly setting themselves. They seem to have a pretty clear idea of what they're going to do with the next one.
Yeah.
Text comes up at the very end that says, the father's story is now over.
Mm. Yeah.
Which...
very weird.
Which just sits on the... you have to like cue it to...
Yeah.
You have to press X to like... it doesn't just fade up and then away.
Which for so like for the fact that like Ethan was a new character in Seven,
yeah.
he's not part of the Resident Evil lore and franchise history and anything.
Nah.
It's like, so is it almost, are we saying like 7 and 8 was like part one of a trilogy or something? You know, we're in a
it
new
seems
sort
like
of
it.
Thing. Yeah. Because
Chris has got a setup to fight, I forget what that fucking...
BSAA?
Something yeah. like that. Whatever...
yeah.
I don't even know what corporation that is. I don't know what that's from.
Yeah.
But
so presumably the next one you will play as Ethan's daughter, as mm-hmm. Rose.
Yeah.
Presumably, who's now working with Chris, we see, at the end of this.
Yes.
And him saying he's going to go and make them pay.
Because they're using bioweapons.
As soldiers? I did not get that at all.
Yeah, but maybe that's not meant to be got. Maybe that's for the next one.
Right.
Well, because, yeah, him saying that.
And maybe it's from one of those fucking Revelations ones or something. Yeah. I think it might be from something that.
But him saying that at the end, like right after the boss battle.
Yeah.
And then we cut forward to Rose as a teenager who's now working with Chris.
Yeah.
So presumably whatever he's saying he's going to go do in Europe has happened.
Right, they've done
previously
that.
In the past when we... Maybe the next one is first half Chris tracking them down and second half you playing as Rose. I don't know.
Mm. Well, 7 had DLC that was like some Chris stuff. I don't know if I ever even played it. Right. But maybe that's some DLC stuff that's coming for this one. I mean, it doesn't really matter what the setup is. Like, I think the main the main point of this story is that, like, it is... It's fun. Like the boss characters are so silly and over the top that I think they're engaging.
It's got that cool thing. I like anything that sets up early on. These are the four places. Like it shows you early on. These are the characters. This is what their little area is like.
Yeah.
And so you kind of know. And then it shows on the map. It's like a little icon for all four of them. It's not like something like, I guess Persona is a similar thing, right? Where you're going into this area that is run by this person, but you don't know until right before you get up to it what it's going to be.
Right.
I like that it spells out to you at the very beginning so you know, like,
guess what,
oh, cool,
Link,
now I'm up to the weird fish
three stones.
Yeah.
You need to get all three and then there'll be a fourth one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just a really competently made, like, satisfying structure. And I think no one element stands out that well on its own, maybe the visuals, but no like particular one thing is like exceptional.
Yeah.
But the way they're all put together and the way that it all just kind of sits as a whole is really, really fun. And I think it's worth talking about it in spoilery terms by going like, these specific dumb things that happen are additive to the previous part of the game too. Like that big Call of Duty section at the end, it makes the overall thing more fun.
Because you've got this
pretty good combat thing that is kind of elevated when you take it to its extreme.
And again, look, when we're saying about the puzzles and the combat and how we all feel about them, it's like, they're not meant to be this great puzzle game. They're not meant to be this incredible combat game. It's Resident Evil. That's what they've always done, is the kind of like...
Mixing them all together.
They support each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think that for me that adds up to like a less than exceptional game, but a really fun one.
Yeah.
It's like it's still a recommendation. I do have all of those issues with all of those aspects. And I think the main thing that like I think I would have walked away from this game had it ended with like literally the point of maybe Ethan like crumbling and dying, rather than having the epilogue and the Chris stuff. I think I would have been much more like, that was a great game, but because there was the weird stuff with, I guess, Resident Evil stuff I don't know about,
right?
And like the Rose thing, it sort of left me a little bit more like, oh yeah, that was kind of a stupid game, wasn't it?
It is stupid.
Yeah,
I think there's
stupid.
Just something about it though that is really endearing. I don't know what it is, but I agree that every element doesn't match up to the best examples of other elements or isn't even necessarily great.
Right.
But for some reason, they work together in a way that is just super engaging and satisfying.
And I liked that they've kind of visually at least and that like they've taken it in a different area.
Right.
Without it being too much of a... Because with 7, at the start of it, it really did seem like it was going to be a complete... resetting.
Yeah.
And it's less zombies and it's just this fucked up family, which then they ended up bringing all the Umbrella stuff in towards the end of and really making it more part of the lore and everything, which is fine. But this one, that stuff is still there, but it's done less, you know. There's no real like weird, here's how these people came to be like this. It's like,
no, it's pretty self-contained.
Yeah, which I really like. I like that they were really able to find a kind of a pretty fresh thing to do for the series.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that would make it register a lot deeper for people who've been playing these from back in the day is like, they're still continuing this story and it's still as dumb as ever, but like they're still able to make really good ones of it and also kind of surprising ones as well.
Right. And why can't you make a werewolf with an experiment rather than a zombie?
Yeah. Right.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Why not?
They're both just as equally
Except
ridiculous.
Yeah.
yeah.
It is pretty fucked up that they chopped your daughter up and put her in different jars.
Yeah.
yeah
that's pretty,
pretty
fucking
weird.
Gross.
And then she comes back to life.
Yeah, she's just fine.
Yeah.
She, yeah, dude.
The Duke, one thing I wanted to comment on with him is that the just a very, I just love his like weirdly unsettling presence and especially when you're like looking through menus and he's just kind of like moaning and grunting to just, himself. Yeah, he's just sitting there like, oh, it's like so fucked. But I really love that character. Like I think he's a great addition and just a great like that sort of like borderline cartoony level that they sometimes straddle with the Resident Evil games and they always do it like pretty well.
I kind of thought he was going to be a boss fight for some reason because he's like a little like he doesn't seem like he's a bit sus. I thought he'd be in the back of his carriage and you know running around or whatever. But instead, what they do with him at the end is he helps you out a bit and then he's like, Ethan goes, who are you? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
it's just, it's so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm a mysterious like, character.
Yeah, I'm the merchant guy. I'm a menu, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the setup to like killing the animals to get things, it's just like, he's just a fat cunt who wants you to bring him food.
I like when you give him the ingredients to cook food, he's like, here's your portion. You can have some.
Yes.
Have a bit.
But yeah, overall, great game. Yeah, a lot of fun. It's I typically enjoy savoring games a bit more, but with Resident Evils, I think they are best played like pretty quickly in a couple of sittings.
There's something compelling about them in that way though too.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I don't really move too much between, for the most part with all of them, you basically are in sort of the one area for the entire thing. So it is very conducive to just like thrashing out that whole area.
Yeah.
There aren't as neater kind of like outpoints as something
you go
that
like
maybe Last
police
of Us.
Station sewer in like two different play sessions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Have
right.
a sesh.
There's something I think maybe because it is so tense and like scary at the start. Once you start to master the game systems, you really feel like you're like, oh, sick. Now I can push through and, you know, hear the rest of the story. It is really a good motivating thing.
Yep. I'll tell you the one biggest problem I had as well. Those fucking puzzles where you've got to push a lantern onto like the dangling lantern.
Oh,
you got to light other stuff. Fuck, it didn't work.
Really?
Yeah. I hated that shit.
I got them instantly.
I got them instantly, but I was like, I feel like I just tricked the physics of that.
It was fucking awful. I spent, it was dumb as hell. Yeah.
I got all of them first go.
Yeah, me too. Right. I just walked into them, but I was like,
I slashed
I feel
them
like
with the
that,
knife.
Oh, nice. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is that where you just, using the knife?
I used it a few times, but it would knock them to the side.
I would sort of angle it and then just hit it and it goes straight and that's it.
That shit. No, yeah. Broken.
No, easiest part of the game, actually.
I fucking hate them. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Not the greatest ever thing in the world. I was kind of hoping for like maybe they can pull off another 4 situation, but it's not that at all.
It's like a Saw movie or something, you know? It's like really well done, but when you step back, you're like, that was just a silly horror movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If this was a film, I'd fucking hate it. But
for
it being a game, it's a great experience.
Wow. That's
good time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well paced.
Sick.
Just like this podcast. You do a bunch of stuff and then you do a little secret bit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
A little extra bonus part. Mm-hmm. Go off to the side, get that map blue. Your map's blue now.
Yep.
My 15 balls are all blue, so let's
wrap
this up.
All right. Yeah, we did all the plugs.
Filthycasuals.com.au.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Welcome to Filthy Casuals. What can I get you today? I'm the Duke of this podcast. That was me doing that impression. You know his famous quote, what can I get you today?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.